A couple of months ago, we heard from a Peninsula researcher named Ed Connolly, who not only writes for Covert Action Information Bulletin, but perhaps more importantly, or as an extension of that, has been doing a lot of work on the state defense forces, the ad hoc militia, which are being put together tragically almost in an underground fashion and in such a way as to make it appear, well, basically it is to involve a lot of ultra-right wing groups, including the Aryan Nations. The talk, the fascinating talk that I had on the air here with Ed Connolly is on permanent file with archives on audio. Basically, Ed Connolly's on the subject of the state defense forces. Ed is waiting on the phone right now, I suspect. Somebody's calling in, and I'm not sure exactly which. I suspect that's the line that he's coming in on. At any rate, I'm going to take a little bit of a stab here. We're going to gamble and hope that the line that's ringing now is Ed Connolly, because he's going to update us on what's happening with the state defense forces and also tell us about an upcoming talk for people that would like to follow up on the information you've heard here or the information presented in his earlier discussion. And good evening, Ed. Are you there?
Yeah, Dave. It is me calling on the line.
Okay. Well, no, you're on the air live, so we're in a position to proceed here.
Okay, Dave, I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to spread the word and update people about the state defense forces, and in particular, California State Defense Force, which is called the California State Military Reserve. You've been very kind in the past to provide time on your program to inform people about volunteer paramilitary groups that they should be very concerned about. I'm going to recapitulate just in a minute or two what these groups are about, and then update your listeners about what has transpired since we talked a couple of months ago.
Okay, well, before you do, Ed, just let me say that that's the purpose of this show. So you needn't feel a sense of gratitude. Basically, we're all in this thing together, and this program exists as a tool for our mutual exercise of for all of our exercise of our civil liberties, with the purpose ultimately of surviving.
Well, Dave, I know a lot of people who listen to your program are involved and participate and aren't mere listeners but are activists, and I'm hoping that that this can kind of promote some more activism in taking a look at the California State Military Reserve and some specific steps that we all can take to address what is a real potential threat to our freedom of assembly and redress in the event that there is a war mobilization, which remains a likely possibility considering moves that the DOD has made to equip and train the National Guard to leave at a moment's notice. And that's where these state defense forces come in. At the beginning of the Reagan first presidential administration, there was a move within the DOD to conceive and advocate the formation of volunteer civilian militia throughout the country with the express purpose of suppressing so-called civilian disorder as well as subversion and terrorism in the event that the National Guard is federalized and deployed for foreign combat. To date, about half the states have these civilian militia, which are based on statutes that were on the books in many of those states since the Second World War and even before then. They enable the air raid wardens and civil defense people back then, and that whole series of agencies had fallen dormant after the Korean conflict, and the DOD, the Federal Department of Defense, used those existing statutes to build upon with a common mission across all of these states. Here in California, there's a group known as the California State Military Reserve, which has been funded since 1984 to the tune of about $250,000 per year. Fortunately, they have not been used in those 5 years to do anything, and so they're just basically a drain on resources that could be applied for homeless people or hungry people, more socially relevant uses. The California State Military Reserve exists at cadre strength now, which means there are about 800 of a 1,500 member cap who are active at this point, and they're building toward a 1,500 member cadre population. of a nucleus of officers who would direct a vastly augmented force of volunteers who could be reinforced by a state draft under California state law in the event of a war mobilization. If they're mobilized, Camp San Luis Obispo would serve as a training induction center and boot camp for the enlistees, and there they would be equipped according to the mobilization plan, which is a state document released in January for the state military reserve. They'd be equipped with M14s and 45 caliber sidearms, and would be trained in the use of riot gases and riot training for deployment in demonstrations. This amounts to an internal security force to counteract demonstrations that would inevitably ensue from the kind of massive war mobilization that would take the National Guard out of the country. And as you know, and your listeners know, the National Guard has been training by the hundreds of thousands over the last several years overseas, and in particular in Honduras, and I understand now in Costa Rica as well. So we do live with the potential of a mobilization that would take the Guard out of the country, and subsequently those people who would be opposed to that move, I'm sure, would want to demonstrate their resistance to that, and they would be met by the California State Military Reserve. Now, that's kind of the background that I wanted to let you know.
Ed, before you proceed, I had a question. If in the event of emergency, and if this cadre is going to be expanded into a much larger force...
20,000 people at full strength.
Okay, now you said they could be conscripted, these troops could be conscripted under California law. Is that the same as the federal selective service system, or is it somehow different?
No, it is different.
Could you explain it?
It's not part of federal selective service as a condition of being in the civilian militia. The members cannot be subject to other service, so they are not by definition exempt from a federal draft, but they cannot be called. If you're eligible for call into the Army, you can't be a member of this militia.
Mm-hmm.
The draft is purely a state function into these civilian militia. The governor here is permitted to conscript people under California law. It's unlikely that that, in fact, would occur. It appears as though the military department would count on volunteers to staff the ranks to whatever strength was considered necessary in the event of an emergency. There appear to be some mechanisms for reaching the kinds of people that the military would want in this California State Military Reserve. Now, my concerns about this group stem from the mobilization plan, which is basically a 130-page document that's the marching orders for this group when it would be called into active duty. The document is new. It was published in January, and that document calls for recruits to report on subversives. The bulk of it is anti-terrorist rhetoric. It's a combat training kind of document. It is not a document that discusses forest fires or earthquake relief, flood control, that kind of thing, which is a predominant responsibility of the Guard now. This is a document designed for an internal security force. Within that document, there were directions that the agency would maintain intelligence files on individuals and groups of interest to the command. Now, this aroused not only my concern, but when I informed the House Ways and Means Budget Subcommittee that had responsibility for hearing the military budget proposal, which is headed by Assemblywoman Maxine Waters of Los Angeles, it also aroused their concerns as well. From over the last 5 years since this outfit has been funded, it's just been a line item in the military budget, and the subcommittee, frankly, didn't pay much attention to it. It seemed innocuous, and it's a small amount of money, that's dedicated to it from year to year because it's a volunteer group and the people who are in it buy their own uniforms, that kind of thing. So the overhead is very low. Well, this year they called in people from the military department to examine them about just what was going on with this mobilization plan and what the role and mission of the whole outfit was to begin with, which was clearly expressed in a mission statement that was in their basic training handbook and included missions such as fighting sabotage and maintaining defensive key facilities and responding to civil disturbances. The question is, who would these people be protecting us against? The National Guard has never in its history fought subversives on American soil, and there's no suggestion that that's a realistic use for a civilian militia.
I think the problem, of course, excuse me for interrupting it, but the problem, of course, and we talked about this in your original discussion, is the definition of the word subversives. I suspect that they may be talking about people like you and I.
Well, that's true. In fact, what happened at the Ways and Means Subcommittee, and this is where we're in the updating part of the discussion, I think at the time we talked, the final hearing before Ways and Means was to occur. The hearing took place, and I tried to get this hearing rolling, to call their whole budget and structure into question, and I had hoped that they would not continue to be funded. Assemblywoman Waters was very adamant about not giving them another nickel. She was convinced that they were not a necessity and that there were other programs that would benefit from that money. However, they did get their funding despite her vote. But the committee did impose some very some restrictions on their receipt of money during this next budget installment. And those restrictions that were proposed by the subcommittee got stiffened by the Joint Legislative Budget Committee process that followed, which is surprising because usually recommendations from either the House side or the Senate side in the budget process get watered down when it comes to the Joint Committee. In fact, the opposite was true. In August, as of August 1st, October 1st, and several other periods throughout the year, the military department is directed to report the membership of the State Military Reserve currently, and that includes the names of all the people who are involved and their responsibilities, their recruitment practices during the term of the report, the missions, the status of the SMR, and a bunch of other things stipulated by the Joint Legislative Committee. And that report will be going to the fiscal committees and to the Joint Legislative Budget Committees, and it is a public document by definition. That said, and when you mention the definition of subversives and terrorists, I want to point out that there is currently an ad running in the July issue of a magazine called American Survival Guide. It's a national magazine. It's a survivalist magazine. It, by any definition, is a pretty extreme publication with articles discussing the assault rifle bans and with a lot of gun reviews, but a lot of really right-wing rhetoric within it. Now, this same magazine, I've learned back in 1985, had published an article about state defense forces generally and indicated that these civilian militia would be used to suppress demonstrations that would come about during war. For your listeners who'd like to follow up on this, the July issue of American Survival Guide, which is published by McMullen Publishing in Anaheim, California, carries an ad under the Survivalist Directory at the back of the magazine, directed to people in Southern California. And there it asks for patriotic Americans to come to the defense of the country and to join the California State Military Reserve. So a copy of this magazine has been forwarded to Maxine Waters subcommittee, that's the House Ways and Means subcommittee that will be receiving the report from the military department about, among other things, the recruiting practices of the California State Military Reserve. And they'll have that on hand to compare with what the report from the military department indicates the recruiting practice is. This outfit definitely has a political agenda. I can speak with experience there from having attended meetings. It is of real concern to anyone who would consider themselves a peace activist and who would respond during a war situation to try and prevent another mobilization of this country and getting immersed in generating American casualties or hurting people elsewhere. And I have some specific suggestions on how people can get involved to learn more about this and to do something about it in this state. And if you have a minute, I'd like to tell you about what's going on in other states, too.
Okay.
Are you still there?
Yeah, no, go right ahead. We're waiting. Proceed.
Okay. I'm hoping the people listening who are interested and concerned in the California State Military, about the California State Military Reserve, will want to write for the mobilization plan that I've mentioned. Let me give you the address so that you can get your copy of it. It has been amended since the subcommittee hearings, and some of the offending portions were deleted. The military department had kind of a lame excuse for the intelligence gathering sections. They said that it had been inadvertently copied from the National Guard's mobilization plan.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, no one bothered to ask if the National Guard has the authority to gather intelligence on American citizens, but that's another matter. But the bulk of the plan remains intact. And to get the plan, you should write Brian L. Peterson. That's Peterson. He's a legal administrator in the Office of the Adjutant, and that's ADJUTANT, General, State of California, Post Office Box 214-405, Sacramento, California, and the zip is 95821-0405, and ask for the mobilization plan for the California State Military Reserve. It is a public document, and you should have no problem being provided that document.
Okay, Ed, I wonder if I could ask you to repeat the address and the other information once more with feeling so that our listeners who are writing this down, who may not have been able to keep up with you, can do it. One more time.
Okay, this is the basis for finding out about what the California State Military Reserve would be called to do in the event that they're mobilized. And it is called a mobilization plan. That's what you ask for the State Military Reserve. The person you want to contact is Brian L. Peterson, Peterson, in the Office of the Adjutant General. Adjutant is ADJUTANT, Adjutant General, State of California, Post Office Box 214405-28. Oop, wait a minute, made a mistake. Forget about the dash there. Sacramento, California, and the zip is 95821-0405. I'd suggest your listeners also might want to write Maxine Waters' office to get a copy of the report that the military department will be providing on the activities of the State Military Reserve. Now, I mentioned that the first report is due August 1st. It appears as though the military department will be getting an extension until the next deadline, which is the deadline for the subsequent report, which would be October 1st. So I don't think it's going to be available until October. But if they want to get a copy of that, they should write Assemblywoman Maxine Waters, Ways and Means Subcommittee on State Administration, room 5016, State Capitol, Sacramento, and the zip is 95184. Now, those documents will dial you into what's going on with this agency and currently in California. But I would recommend this. I'm hoping I can recruit some activists to become their own investigative reporters and help provide information to the subcommittee about the activities of the State Military Reserve. It takes a little chutzpah to do this, but it's a good thing to do now before we're really presented with a very difficult situation during a war mobilization. There is, for example, a battalion that is very active in San Jose, which meets every Wednesday night at the National Guard Armory at the corner of Heading Street and Guadalupe Parkway. That's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock every week. The commander is a fellow named Rodney Dully, who just retired from the Sheriff's Department in Santa Clara. He was an extra assistant sheriff's deputy. I understand he managed work crews from one of the minimum security prisons. The meetings, I believe, under the Brown Act have to, as public meetings, permit time for members of the public to attend. And I suggest anybody curious about the people who are involved down there and what they may be doing would like to participate and go down and try and get access to a meeting.
So that's the National Guard Armory at the corner of Heading Road and Guadalupe Parkway.
Right. It's right near the airport, mm-hmm. right near all the city offices down just below the airport towards San Jose. There are also battalions that meet in Santa Rosa, in Walnut Creek, and in Monterey, in Fort Ord, as well as several other cities, San Luis Obispo and elsewhere. And I would recommend that your listeners contact National Guard Armories in those cities if that's more appropriate for their convenience. And get involved. Somebody, a brave soul, might even want to join the State Military Reserve. You can withdraw at any time. You're not locked into this volunteer organization if you do get entry and join. And really, at that point, gather information that could be useful to the subcommittee in really assessing what's going on in these groups. There's also, to make the story a little bit longer, a private association known as the State Defense Force Association of the United States, which operates out of Kansas City, which stages a conference here in California every year, as well as a national conference, and they're very strident anti-communist programs. The national program last year involved spokesmen from the Defense Intelligence Agency and some of the military war colleges, and spoke specifically about Soviet Spetsnaz, and the keynote address talked about Soviet proxies targeting facilities here in the states for attack. It's pretty wild stuff.
And again, I think the significant part of that is the talk of Soviet proxies. Who exactly are they talking about?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's an internal security force. All this stuff is shorthand for people who would oppose a war policy. And I got to tell you, that means an awful lot of people.
Right.
I think that strategists within the military department, this whole stuff should call into question what's going on with the military in this country that people have not scrutinized thoroughly enough. The National Guard is no longer a state emergency force, but is an agency that is a combat force now. It forms half the combat units of the regular army. So we've lost that state agency that's available for natural disaster relief, and they're being geared up to fight battles. And the people who are in the National Guard are people who are in the infrastructure. They're there part-time. They tend to be older and have families, and it would have tremendous economic and social impact if they were to go. And given what I understand about the equipping and training of the Guard, it appears as though the National Guard actually would be deployed first ahead of the regular Army, and they might suffer high casualties in a battle situation as a result. Now, this is serious. We all should be taking a look at what's going on here, and we all can participate, and we all can bring into focus the state defense forces and also federal military strategy that's, once again, militarizing our economy for invasions outside the country. This stuff is very, very real, and it will affect all of us who would be opposed to a future war. I want to point out that I'm going to be talking about this in more detail at Modern Times Bookstore on August 17th for anyone who'd like to get more information about what's going on, both at the state level and in other states. Modern Times is at 968 Valencia Street in San Francisco, and that will start at 8 o'clock on August 17th. Now, I mentioned the mobilization plan from California, and I hope your listeners, I hope people listening are going to get a copy of that to see for themselves what is up with this agency in our state. New York State had the people in the New York Guard, which is the equivalent state defense force in that state, have refused to provide the mobilization plan for the New York Guard. For the reason that they making public the document would endanger people who are in the New York Guard. It's a totally specious argument, and it was denied on appeal. So now the New York Civil Liberties Union is going to enjoin them legally to provide that document, and is going to make some substantial public case out of it unless they capitulate and provide the document. Virginia, Utah, and Texas have been forced to disband their state defense forces and reorganize them, at least at the cadre level, because of abuses there. Briefly, people in the Utah State Guard, for example, have been implicated in the past in thefts of arms from Tooele Army Depot and Hill Air Force Base, and consequently people who have been following this FBI sting that was revealed a few weeks ago regarding stolen, pilfered military items, may be interested to know that those people from the Utah State Guard will probably be named in indictments in that sting very soon. I've been doing a lot of talking, Dave, and I hope I've been staying on track here and providing some useful information.
You have indeed. The only thing I want to ask you to do is to repeat the address that you're going to be giving, the times and so forth, the details for Modern Times. Your talk at Modern Times Books. Now, August 17th is a Thursday, is it not?
Well, it's a Thursday night, August 17th, 8 o'clock, Modern Times Bookstore. It's a small bookstore at 968 Valencia Street in San Francisco. If anyone needs details or directions, you can reach the bookstore at area code 415, of course, 282-9246. Modern Times is, the people there definitely have a political conscience and stage a lot of informative programs about issues of concern, such as the State Defense Force issue. And I look forward to relating more information there and showing people the documentation that nails all this stuff down. Please get in touch with your state representatives. If you're in this area, contact Byron Scherer's office in Mountain View. Byron Scherer is himself concerned with his state agency and has been very responsive in and very helpful in addressing this issue. The more noise that's made, the more this will be called into question, and if we simply acquiesce and ignore what this outfit is up to, it's going to continue. It's benign now, but if it's ever deployed, we've got a real potential problem on our hands. Dave,
yeah.
Thanks for getting the word out. I always look forward to people calling into your show who may have more information firsthand about the California State Military Reserve or other state defense forces, and I wonder if there might be an opportunity for people to call in tonight.
There will be a phone-in session. I do have a lot of information because I'm going to be playing about an hour and a half's worth of tape, but I have a couple of articles to play, too. We will have at least some phone-ins on this evening's broadcast and then more next week since it's a regular feature. So hopefully there will not only be people who will, in essence, swing and swing effectively at the pitch that you have delivered up so nicely for them, but hopefully some people will be able to perhaps kick in information during either tonight's or a subsequent week's phone-in session, which will prove useful to you as well.
Dave, thanks again, and I know the people listening are activists as a result of your program. There were people who drove all the way up to the hearings in Sacramento to sit in and hear testimony from the military department, so there are people who are motivated to participate and improve the community. So thank you again.
Okay, well, Ed, thank you so much. Keep up the good work, and I just want to, before you get off, I want to remind the listeners of a couple of things. This is now Sunday, July 30th. Ed's talk is going to be added to his previous discussion as an addendum to the information on the state defense forces, and I just want to remind people to follow up on what Ed's various suggestions, because freedom is like a muscle, and if you don't use it, it goes away. All right. Well, thanks so much.
Night.
Good night, Ed. And that concludes our talk with Ed Connolly, and we will be hearing more from him in the future as we will be in touch. And again, this is going to be added as an addendum to his previous discussion. It will be on permanent file with Archives on Audio. Hopefully people will be able to not only, as I said, follow up on these things, but also perhaps those of you who have information that might prove useful to Ed, if you know some things that he has not been able to cover, perhaps you can either phone them in on this program or communicate it to him, perhaps up at the Talk at Modern Times bookstore. At any rate, we're now going to take a very short musical break. I'm just going to give you my theme song. Then I'm going to come back and run down the rest of the information that you're going to be hearing during the prepared portion of tonight's broadcast.